To the book of Job and the chapter 28. The book of Job and the chapter 28. Reading together from the verse 1 of the chapter. The word of God says, "Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stone of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot, they are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock, he overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depths say, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, nor with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof. And he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight of for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Amen. And we'll end our reading there. The verse 28. The responses of Job then have been our subject matter of our deliberations over these past number of weeks. These responses that he has given to the three friends who have offered counsel even in the times of his suffering. We have noted the three negative emotions in those responses as we have considered them week by week. We considered the negative emotion of discouragement, of vengeance, and of hurt. We've looked also at the positive emotion of patience, a bridge which allows one to move from the negative to a more positive place. And we've indicated, of course, that one of the final two emotions of a positive nature that we'll come to consider is that of hope. But that's for next week. For today, we come to consider something which, when employed by Job here in the midst of his suffering, filled his mind and flooded his heart with positive truth about his past, but also about his current experiences, and ultimately about his God. For today we come to consider what it means to reminisce, or to remember the days that have passed. No doubt we all know someone who loves to talk about the good old days. Days when in their mind life was less complicated and circumstances were better. And this reminiscing is applicable to almost every area of life. People undoubtedly apply it to society. Whether it be a yearning to return to the swinging 60s, the bell-bottom 70s, or perhaps as far back as the booming 50s, there are people who reminisce that they were the days. Some even travel further back than that and reminisce of days that they never lived through, like the Victorian era. But nevertheless, they evoke a positive, nostalgic yearning to return to such times in the heart of the one who considers them. Others apply it to life generally. Perhaps due to age, people reminisce about days of youthful vigor and fearless adventure. Others yearn for days at home with parents, siblings, and spouses. Others, of course, apply it to church life. They, with rose-tinted spectacles, yearn to return to the church that they grew up in, the pastor who married them, or further back still, they wish to live through days of revival once more. And so it is, without doubt, that reminiscing on the right things produces a positive response in our hearts and minds. When it comes to reminiscing, when it comes to remembering the things that have passed, I believe that it's true to say that the ability to remember such things is given to us by God. In Psalm 111, in the verse 3, the psalmist says, "His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered." The words of God himself in Isaiah chapter 46 and the verse 9 say this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." And both in the psalmist and in the record of Isaiah, we see here an exhortation to remember the days that have passed. A quick survey of Scripture also shows us clearly that trouble came to the people of God, and specifically to the children of Israel, when his word, his will, and his ways were not remembered. And on the other hand, his presence, his protection, and his provision were more fully enjoyed whenever the children of Israel truly remembered their God. And so reminiscing or remembering the days of old can be used of God in each of our lives to help us understand his plan and his purposes, to help us understand those things just a little bit more clearly. But as well as that, I believe that remembering or reminiscing can also equip us with what is required in the here and now to overcome. Job here in chapters 27 to 29 is reminiscing. He's reminiscing in the days of his suffering. And think it not strange, for I believe that one of the reasons that God permits suffering in our lives is to help us focus on that which is truly important. And that is exemplified here in the experience of Job. And so in a sense, suffering is acting like a friend to Job, for it's reminding him of the things that are truly important, and God is using it in his life to bring him back to the fundamentals. It remains true to this day that the majority of our reminiscing is done in days whenever things aren't going so well. As the world disintegrates around us, we yearn to return to the good old days. When our strength and our health are failing, we yearn to return to the good old days. When we have lost friends and loved ones and we find ourselves lonely, we yearn to return to the good old days. When the gospel work is hard, opposition is rife, discouragements are many, and it is undoubtedly the day of small things, we yearn to return to the good old days. Friend, this morning, in your suffering, in your reminiscing, could it be that God is seeking to bring you not back to a time or a place, but rather he is seeking that you will return to a person and to a thing? For this morning, I suggest to you that it's not a return to the good old days that we need. It's rather a return to God. It's not a return to the way that we used to do things that we need. Rather, it's a return to placing a priority on our relationship with him. God is using then suffering, perhaps even your suffering today, to drive you back to him, to bring you back into that place of right relationship with him. See, life is all about properly placed priorities. And here in Job's life, God was permitting this period of suffering to remind Job in his reminiscing of what truly mattered. And for Job, it was this: his firm belief in the existence of God and his intimate relationship that he shared with God. And those were the fundamental truths that God was reminding Job of in his suffering. And so that's what our discussion will be built around today. For as we draw things from the Word of God, we're going to center it around that thought. The truth about his belief, his firm belief in the existence of God. And the benefits, the great benefits of his intimate relationship that he shared with God. So notice with me firstly that in Job's reminiscing he was reminded of, point number one, truth about God. Truth about God. Remember, we're viewing a man here who has lost his children. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his home. He's lost his standing. His health is compromised. And now, as we've clearly seen as the weeks have passed, he is being misunderstood and misrepresented by his very friends. But continuing his response, which incidentally in chapter 7 is remarked upon as being a parable, that which communicates great heavenly truth, but using everyday language, using everyday things. But in this parable, in chapter 27, he mentions God 13 times. Verse 2, he says, "As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul." In verse 3, "All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils." Come down to verse 5, "God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me." And then in verse 8, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul?" In verse 9 and 10, "Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty will I not conceal." Then in verse 13, "This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, why they shall receive of the Almighty." And then finally in verse 22, "For God shall cast upon him and not spare, he would fain flee out of his hand." Here in his reminiscing, he's identifying key truth about God. He's identifying that God is holy. He's identifying that God is just. He's identifying that God is all-powerful. He's identifying that God is all-wise, a God who will remember to do all that he has promised to do. And in this passage of Scripture, he's remembering a God who we said at the beginnings of our studies would do what he pleases, with whom he pleases, when he pleases. And this is the truth that Job's reminiscing reminded him of. That God is beyond our full comprehension. That we cannot fathom just how great, powerful and awesome he is. And Job here has such a high view of God that he did not wish in any wise or in any way to compromise his walk with God. And so in reminiscing, Job is allowing his thoughts to flow biblically, to flow scripturally. Thus allowing his mind to be fixed upon that which is true. And that remains a great lesson in suffering. For whenever the times are tough and whenever we have more questions than answers, we do well to think scripturally about the God with whom we have to do. This was something that Moses charged the children of Israel to do in Deuteronomy in the chapter 32 in the verses 3 and 4. He says, "I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." And then he goes on in verse 7 to say, "Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations." As you continue your journeys, as the trials and troubles will undoubtedly come, remember God and let your reminiscing of Him affect you positively today. For God never changes, He's a rock. In Psalm 20, in verse 7, the psalmist says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And then we have the testimony of Jonah as he's swallowed by that great fish. And he says in his own words, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. There's a message that's being communicated over and over again. We do well to remember truth about God. Friend, are you suffering today? Are you in a place where things aren't going quite right? What do you think about when you think of God? The Bible is exhorting us here through the example of Job to remember Him. Remember His greatness. Remember His power. Remember His wisdom. And let that remembering produce a positive response in your life. But Job's reminiscing not only reminded him of truth about God, but secondly, truth about man. That's what's contained for us here in chapter 28, the verses that we read together. We can summarize it by simply saying this: man is mortal. His wisdom and his power is finite. Read with me the verses 12 through 20 once more. For Job is asking this question. He says, where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depths say, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire stone. The golden crystal cannot equal it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of the coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Here's a man in the midst of his suffering. And as he's found here reminiscing, Job articulates the truth that we are, all of us, but the creature. Can any of us truly profess to know why? Why God permits suffering? Why God deals with one man in one way and another man in another way? Why certain things at certain seasons in our lives just seem to be all out of control? The answer, time on time, over and over again, is no. To be able to do these things, Job reminds us, requires wisdom and understanding. Things which man cannot find. Things which man cannot buy. And so the question is asked then, at the end of verse 20, where? Where can wisdom, where can understanding be gotten? In verse 23, he gives the answer. He simply says, God. God is the source of wisdom. God is the source of understanding. And for us mere mortals on earth, the gaining of wisdom and understanding from God is simply the ability to think as God thinks. It's to see things as God sees them. It's to respond as God would when trials and difficulty come. Read the remainder of the verse. It says, God understandeth the way thereof. He knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds and weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And he's reminding us here that God is the wise one. Whenever you and I don't understand, he perfectly understands. Whenever you and I are searching for that wisdom and understanding of the things that are unfolding in our lives, it's only to be found in the one who is all wise and the one who always understands. It's only to be found in God. How can wisdom and understanding be gotten? He says in verse 28, unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Fearing the Lord is to be filled with reverence, awe, and wonder. Recognizing that he it is who made us and not we ourselves. Recognizing that it is he whom we have to do. Recognizing that he holds our very next breath in his hands. He numbers our days. He counts our steps. Recognizing that he holds the keys to the future. And thus our duty is to submit unto him. To commit our way unto him. To trust also in the one who will surely bring it to pass. And in doing so, we're to turn completely to him. We're to flee from the evil. We're to let go of the things that we hold near and dear in this world. And Job stands to us as an example of someone who knew what it was to give up, to lose, to let go of everything. But he held fast to the Lord. Because he feared him. If there's one truth that stands out about Job throughout this whole encounter, it is the fact that he was and remains a man of integrity. And here in his reminiscing all about the frailties of man, the limitations of man, it only serves to highlight just how much a man of integrity he truly was. Friend, this morning in your suffering, God's word exhorts us to remember truth about God. But it also reminds us to remember truth about man. For to do so will only ever drive you closer to him as you realize your great dependence upon him. But there's one final truth that Job's reminiscing reminded him of. Not only truth about God, not only truth about man, but truth about God's dealings with man. That's given to us in verse 20, or chapter 29. One word sums the entire thought up. Blessing. Positive reminiscing reminds us of just how good God has been. Reminds us that he is a long-suffering God, not rewarding us as we deserve. But rather, he's a God who is good, a God who is gracious, a God who is kind, a God who is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And this is the testimony of Job. Read with me in chapter 29 in the verses 1 through 6, and it tells us, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days whenever God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Here in these verses, he speaks of butter. Reminds us of God's provision. He speaks of oil. That communicates to us of God's joy and peace. He speaks of the light and the candle in verse 3, which remind us of the tangible presence of God that goes with us through every season of life. And so as he's sitting here and he's reminiscing, surrounded by his friends, covered in boils, knowing the loss of all things, he remembers that God has been good. He remembers that he has lived a blessed life. He remembers that God's presence has been known and continues to be known, even in the midst of his suffering. Verses 8 to 16 remind us then of his blessings upon his wider life, not only his family life, but his civic and his secular responsibilities. Tells us in verse 8, the young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. He was a man regarded. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace. Their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Come down to verse 18. Then said I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men give ear, and waited, and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. In the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. This is a testimony of the blessing of God. Not only in the provision of many good and practical things, not only in his presence, not only in his peace and in joy, not only in the blessings of family, but also then in his wider life. As others looked upon him as he dealt and as he dwelt and dealt with others, even there in that city, God had blessed him. So Job is remembering here the goodness of God. And surely that goodness remains our portion to this very day. The psalmist says in Psalm 25 and the verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have ever been of old. In Psalm 105 and the verse 5, he says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. God is a good God. And surely as we have those periods in our lives, whenever we look back, we ponder, we remember, we reminisce, we yearn for that which is past, we are continually reminded of the goodness of God. His dealings with us are always marked by blessing. You know, as I was considering this message, I was reminded that the Word of God only ever speaks of 3 days. It speaks of yesterday. A day which can instruct us. A day which can teach us. For as we look back, we are reminded of our shortcomings, our failures, our faults. We're reminded as well of the goodness of God. And so yesterday in Scripture always is that which God desires to teach us from. Warren Worsby put it this way. He says, the past must be a rudder to guide us, but not an anchor to hold us back. What does he mean by that? Well, simply this. The second day that Scripture speaks of is today. This is a day in which you can purpose, I can purpose to make a difference. But Warren Worsby is reminding us that some people get so bogged down in yesterday that they cannot live for today. But God has given to you, he's granted to you today. And yes, it may be in today may find you in a period of suffering. It may be in the midst of sorrow, pain and heartache. But God desires that your yesterdays influence you positively for today. And today you purpose, determine in your heart to make a difference. To begin that which is required to get you back to God or to get you closer to God. And then the third day that Scripture speaks of is the day to come. A day, no doubt, of blessing. If that day to come is to be spent here upon earth. For Jeremiah reminds us that each and every day new are the blessings of God. Great is his faithfulness. But if God's will is that we are to find the day to come in heaven, passed from this scene of time, then as the hymn writer said, that will be glory for me. And so the day to come always communicates great hope, great assurance that the same God of today will be our God tomorrow. I wonder, will you allow your suffering to bring you back to what truly matters? The truth of who he is. The truth of how much you depend upon him. The truth of how much blessing he showers upon you each and every day. I wonder, will you allow then your considerations of yesterday to drive you to make a greater and better use of today? And as you anticipate the day to come, will you allow your reminiscing to fill you with a fuller hope for all that God has in store? That's what God desires to do in our suffering. He desires us to remember. But in our remembering to be driven closer to him. May God grant that even in periods of suffering in our lives, perhaps right now, those periods will result in us walking ever closer, living in the light of his presence, doing what we do, consciously aware that he is watching us. We come to our hymn then, whate'er my God ordains is right, his holy will abideth. I will be still whate'er he does, and follow where he guideth. Father, we praise thee and we thank thee that truly we can leave it all with thee, even in the midst of sorrow, heartache, and suffering. And so, Father, we pray that no matter what may enter into our minds, may we filter that which we think, even through the Bible, through the truth of that which thou hast declared. And we pray, Father, that that truth will carry us through. Take us to our homes in safety now. Help us always to dwell in the light of thy presence. Help us to rejoice in the blessings of thy love. Help us ever to be thankful for that which thou hast given to us. And help us, O Lord, to be willing also to testify in what we say and what we do of the great God whom we love and we adore. Bless us now, and in thy presence ever keep us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you go today.